All right, everybody, take their seats. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Okay, the first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Is there a second? Any discussion on the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item is Mr. Corcoran.
Thank you. I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge, and with no individual member dissenting, that at today's board executive session, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under the bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered by the board. May I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I also move that the board certify to each member's knowledge, and with no individual member dissenting, that the executive session on December 1st, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under the board bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered by the board. May I please have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. I'd like to move approval of the minutes for November 17th, 2016, November 17th, 2016, executive session, and December 1st, 2016, executive session. I'd like to move it. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Wiedefeld, employee spotlight.
Great. Thank you. I just wanted to bring your attention to just a tremendous event that occurred with some of our employees. On Monday, December 5th, at approximately 7 p.m., a bus operator at Montgomery Division, Mr. Anthony Sloan, became ill and fell to the ground. Two of our employees, WMATA Special Police Officer Derek Brown and bus operator Curtis Burrell, were on the scene and immediately initiated CPR to resuscitate Operator Sloan, who was unconscious. Bus operator Carl Edwards, who was walking with Operator Sloan when he collapsed, stayed by his side and continued talking to him as CPR was performed. A third operator, Joey Brown, contacted family and gathered pertinent health information that was shared with the paramedics and helped determine how best to treat him on the scene. Operator Sloan was transported to Suburban Hospital, where he underwent emergency surgery. The paramedics who responded to the call commended Operator Sloan's colleagues for assisting on the scene, noting they played an integral role in keeping him alive. Our best wishes go out to Operator Sloan as he continues his recovery, and his wife and daughter are here as well, and obviously to the gentlemen, Mr. Brown, Mr. Burrell, and Edwards, and the other Joey Brown as well, for everything they did. So if we could. Yes.
Something, I'll be honest with you, Carol, I didn't even sort of think about that. No. I think, as you are, I respect process and precedent, and we should, I think at some point, we probably need to have a discussion with her. If she has a decision, she has people that she wants to appoint to the point that we should tender, I think that's the right thing to do. No. Yeah, exactly right. So, I think maybe we should probably do this in a coordinated fashion with Tony.
All right. Next item on the agenda is our public comment. Our first person to speak is Pastor Lionel Edmonds. Pastor Edmonds, where are you? No? No, I saw him here earlier. Okay, we'll go to the next one, and Michael Sindrum. Oh, there's Michael Sindrum.
Morning, Mr. Chair, as we sound my voice. You know, you indicate you want to hear from we the people, but when you take that book away prematurely, right, it's not good. I had some words yesterday with John about that. That book needs to be here up to and including the time of public comment, plain and simple, right? I mean, you've been a councilman, what, for 27 years, 28 years? And you last time read the Riot Act about what's etched in stone. You're a lawyer by profession. The law is not written in stone. Not etched in stone, but written in ink, so it's malleable, and you have discretion, as you know. So let us weigh in when we're here. I have a letter for Commissioner Hutchins. There you are. Yes. I haven't gotten a response yet. All right. And that letter dates back, Commissioner, to January 28th of 2011. There's a constituent, Emerald High Court, that is very interested in knowing your response, so I'll get you another copy of it. Good to see you. You're looking well. The false arrest, the April meeting, what gives? I see the good deputy chief here who gives me the blues when I come in here. I says, I hope you're not arresting anybody falsely. We go to the same barber. That's about the only thing we have in common. But anyway, I wrote to the good chief on May 20th. Haven't heard a response. So I'm going to get you another copy of that to get some timely, to be made whole in the eyes of the law. As we speak, all of the cashier's officers are closed, Commissioner. All of them. Every one of them. Right? And Metro Center at least ought to be one. But they're like a handful of employees. You know what they're doing as we speak right now? Nothing. And getting full pay. What's up with that? And the one who is responsible, Tracy Foster, who needs to be riffed. And Alan Hoppe, too. Look into that. You've got employees doing nothing, right, that are pulling full pay. And then last but not least, the Guardian Angels. I've made mention of this. I had a chat yesterday with the commander, Aaron Thompson, who's ready, willing, and able to go. It won't cost anybody anything. They've got, what, 40 years of exemplary service in New York City, want to be up and running here? I mean, what gives? And I understand Commander Thompson has reached out to the good chief, and still it's 10 years. That seems to be a malady here. So maybe we can get some progress on your end, you know, and do the right thing. Security, you know, is at the top of the list. And if it costs nothing with that history they have, unarmed and whatnot, they do very good work, what's the issue? Any questions, I'd be delighted to field them at this time. Long as you don't bite me, I won't bite you.
Okay, any questions, Mr. Sindrum? I see none. Thank you very much.
Great. To pass up, can I hand these to you, Mr. Chair, or who do I, to you? Yeah, you're.
Okay, our next item on the agenda is a report by the Accessory Advisory Committee. Accessibility Advisory
Thank you very much for letting me speak to you for a couple of minutes this morning. Number one, I'd like to say I think we've had a good year. So I appreciate the support we've gotten from the board members who have come to the AAC meeting, who we've been able to interact with through the quarterly meetings. We appreciate the support. And we also, last month, had an award ceremony. Antonio Stevens, the ADA Excellence Awards. Antonio Stevens, who was the ADA Ombudsman, received the Richard Hettinger Award, and we appreciated his years of service working directly through the ADAP office in various capacities throughout that office. Did a great job, and we were very pleased to ensure that he was recognized for all the work that you had done for the disability community. The other thing that impressed me very much about the other awards that were given that night were the amount of people who work on behalf of people with disabilities within WMATA that make things work behind the scenes. I've seen that over the years, so I just appreciate and I want to thank WMATA, the board, WMATA staff, who work tirelessly to assist people with disabilities, to build access into programs. A lot of the people that got recognized, there's probably a lot more that don't get recognized. We do appreciate that from the AAC, so thank you very much for that. The board report that we gave this month has a series of recommendations that have come from the AAC, and they basically deal with safety issues. I think there are six or seven recommendations in that board report which we'd like to see worked on, and we are going to be pursuing more discussions with safety officers, looking at emergency exercises, what we're learning from those emergency exercises in the coming months. A couple of the things that we discussed as a committee deal with the ability to have a centralized person, either from the jurisdictions or from WMATA, take the information that we're learning from the emergency exercises and ensure that that information is shared among the jurisdictions. We're not seeing that that is happening. Our impression is that once there is an exercise, what's learned in that exercise sort of stays with that jurisdiction and is not being shared. We could be wrong, but we'd like to see that happen. We know that both Maryland, DC, and Virginia have disability experts who are familiar with what should be done in what order and have expertise in the area of safety and how to deal with people with disabilities, particularly service animals, wheelchairs, and that sort of thing. Those people we would encourage you to WMATA to talk to, the jurisdictions to utilize. They have the expertise. They are very happy to be able to share it. And I don't know to what extent their expertise is being used by WMATA. So that would be one recommendation. The other thing that we are working on, which we over the last couple of months, and we will be putting a letter with recommendations to the general manager, is in the area of the waiver. Because of being a person with a disability, the safety concerns, the medical concerns for that group are a little different than the general public. So we would like to offer some suggestions as to how we can participate and how we can change the waiver form so that we can participate more fully and be active in those exercises. I think it's extremely important. The committee appreciates the fact that the volunteer pool has been broadened, but we think that we can do a better job if the waiver could be revised somewhat, and we'll come back to the general manager with our ideas and thoughts and make sure we have a discussion. In the area of service animals, emergency exercise, we need to have more service animals as part of the exercise. In the last exercise that I was in, we didn't see any communication. We didn't see any people who are deaf as part of the exercise. We'd like to be able to make sure that we can get folks who are deaf to be part of that exercise. How are we going to communicate with that population? In the incident that we just had in Twin Brook, I think it was on Monday, if they'd been a deaf person, how would we have communicated? All the communication that I saw was oral. I didn't see any way that we could write any communication out to that individual. So it's something we need to talk to. We certainly need to engage that population so they can be part of this exercise, and so first responders can have some answers, protocols for moving forward. And lastly, there have been some initiatives that we have been very interested in, and one of them had to deal with the emergency gates, the getting cars for Metro Access riders who would use the fixed route system, being able to use the standard fare card gates for conditionally eligible Metro Access riders. We understand that there is a program underway to be able to get those cards out to individuals. It's going to free up and assist with issues concerning fare evasion, people going through the emergency gates, and working with giving freedom and the ability to independence to people with disabilities to use the regular fare card system. This is a huge step. I think the program, as it has been outlined to us, is very effective. It was communicated very well. The research that was done behind it was extremely well done. I know members of the committee are looking forward to getting these Metro Access cards, and I applaud both the staff, the people that did the background work on this, and the board for helping us to meet that as one of the goals that we set out for the year. So thank you very much. We look forward also to the, in the upcoming year, the Abilities Ride program. The AAC, as it has done in the past, stands ready to work with you to help implement a program which will be able to mirror the ADA standards, be effective for people with disability, and be inclusive for people with disabilities. So my thanks to the board for your cooperation. My huge thanks to the general manager and staff for what they have done for people with disabilities in 2016. We look for a great year in 2017. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Sheehan. Any questions for Mr. Sheehan? Okay, yes. See, oh yes, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Mr. Sheehan, thank you once again for an excellent written and oral report. And this question is primarily for staff. A lot of the recommendations that Mr. Sheehan outlined, accepting the ongoing conversations about the liability waivers, seem very sensible, easy to implement. Are we devoting staff resources to developing a point person so that we can share maybe some after-event recommendations on workflows and some of the other changes to outreach and inclusivity as part of this? Do we have staff people who are actually charged with implementing some of these things?
Mr. Wiederfeld?
We do, and it is a work in progress. Every time we do these things, we learn some different things. The waiver issue has been around for a while. It's not only our issue, it's the local jurisdiction's participation issue, and they generally have some issues with that too, so that's more on the legal side of it. But in terms of just lessons learned and building up, and I know that we've implemented a number of things, I think Mr. Sheehan would agree, a number of things that they have brought to us, but there's definitely things we could improve.
Well, look forward to hearing continued progress, Mr. Sheehan. Thank you.
Excellent.
Any further questions for Mr. Sheehan? Yes, Ms. Hudgens?
I think it would be a very good opportunity to reach out into the jurisdictions, since these are around jurisdictional, to gain more opportunity to engage people, as Mr. Sheehan has indicated, and we could kind of target some of those particular ones that you've noted. And I think we can do that through communications very well.
Okay.
That would be great. That would be very helpful, I think.
Okay, further questions, comments? All right, Mr. Sheehan, thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Have a happy holiday.
Thank you.
All right. Next is Ms. Hermanson for the Writers Advisory Council.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I ran into a friend on the bus coming in this morning, and I was sharing that I really wasn't sure what I was going to say today. Get this closer here. And she said, gee, I have a lot of suggestions for what you could tell them. And I think you probably, almost everybody in this room knows that's not the kind of thing I was looking for. It was complaints about some personal experience. So I'm going to talk about the budget. It's something that the RAC has been reviewing, the proposal for the 2018 fiscal. And we know that there's no writer that's going to say, gee, I'd love to pay more. I'd like to wait longer, and I'd just assume that you didn't cover so many hours. Yet we know that these are all things we have to consider. They are important to consider, and the public needs to, they deserve, they have a way to express their opinions, as they've been really good about doing since the new public input process has gone in. And the RAC will also be considering those, because these are not normal times, and they're always is going to be, they're just tough decisions, and we will find it just as tough as the staff and the board has found it to discuss these issues. The RAC is going to submit its recommendations during the public input time period, so it's very possibly next month you'll have somebody here to talk to. A second suggestion I had was that I could tell you that this is my second annual farewell statement.
I know.
I thought last year I was going to no longer be the chair, and everybody that was, I handpicked some good candidates, they all left town. They got new jobs, so I don't think it was personally my fault, but, you know, I'm just not sure. This is my fifth year on the RAC, and the end of the second year of my time as the RAC's chair, and I can't tell you how much of a tremendous honor this has been for me to serve as Iraq's chair. Now, I have to warn you, I cry at Hallmark commercials and any commercial that has puppies in it. So I'll see if I can hold on to my wits. Being the chair has given me an opportunity that very few writers get to interact with the board and with the staff, many people on the staff from the top management to lots of station managers I've interacted with and of many others. I see how much both groups, both the board and the staff, care so much about the writers and how committed they are to improving the writer experience. It's just, we all may differ sometimes on how to do that, but the intent is there and the caring, the heart is there. And since Mr. Wiedefeld's arrival, your very consistent and clear message has been about safety, and the board has embraced this as well, the safety, the reliability, and financial stability. And I can't really remember any decision that either group has made that the RAC hasn't gotten in support of. It's a refreshing new group of people here, and the RAC is behind you the whole way. We're lucky to have Mr. Evans and Mr. Wiedefeld as leaders of those two groups, and I think the future of WMATA is only going to bring better things. I also know that the new generation of RAC members is going to yield a very capable chair to take over in January. I want to thank all of you for educating me over the last several years and supporting me and listening to the RAC suggestions. You may still see me around occasionally, but I need to focus my life on some urgent and important personal matters that I've been ignoring too long. So thank you for the opportunity very much. Any questions or?
Well, thank you very much, Barbara. And any questions before I have some comments, so please stay here. Any questions for Barbara before I make some comments here? No? Okay, thank you. So as some of you know, today, as Barbara just mentioned, is her last report as the RAC chair. She's retiring again. So it's like Michael Jordan, you'll be back again to play some basketball.
Only for less money.
But I'm very good.
Not less money.
I like that. Okay, so on behalf of the board, I'd like to recognize you for your service to the RAC, this board, and to the Metro Riders. Therefore, I move the following commendation of service. Whereas Barbara Hermanson has faithfully represented the interests of the riders from Virginia and around the Washington region on the Riders Advisory Council since May of 2012. And whereas early in her tenure on the council, she became a part of its leadership, serving as the council's Virginia vice chair in 2013 and 14. And whereas Barbara continued to serve as part of the council's leadership during two terms as the council's chair in 2015 and 2016. And whereas under her leadership, the council worked to strengthen the link between the board and the RAC, including realigning the council's committee structure to more closely match that of the board. And whereas during her tenure, the council, Ms. Hermanson worked to position the council as not only a resource for the board, but also for Metro staff, including increasing the council's participation in Metro's quarterly safety exercises. And whereas Barbara brought an immense level of dedication to her role as council chair, including regular attendance at board and committee meetings to ensure that the council was fully aware of the issues facing the board and to look for opportunities for the council to provide relevant input. Whereas Barbara concluded her service on the council as of December 31st, concludes her service as of December 31st, 2016. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors offers its sincere gratitude to Barbara Hermanson for her distinguished service and leadership as a member of the WMATA Writers Advisory Council, and be it further resolved, the WMATA Board of Directors commends Barbara for her dedication, professionalism, and work to ensure that writers are well represented in all of Metro's decision-making. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
join Paul and I for a photo over here.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, now we have some administrative business. First, I would like to move that D.C. Member Corbett Price be appointed to the Finance Committee. So I'd like to move this. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. Next, we have several appointments to the Writers Advisory Council. I figured if I do that real quick, we'd get it done, you know, and nobody... next, we have several appointments to the Writers Advisory Council, or the RAC. We have a number of vacancies, which we need to fill for the district and Maryland. The Virginia vacancies will be handled next month. Staff conducted extensive outreach in late 2015 to recruit members of the public to the Writers Advisory Council. From these applications, a pool of potential candidates was selected to fill positions throughout the year. Therefore, I move that we appoint the following writers to the RAC. Colin Roosh for the at-large seat, Joseph Sue, Valerie Cook, and Dexter Williams representing the district, and Yvette Washington and Serena Kimma representing Maryland. So I'd like to move these nominees. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Finally, I'd like to take a moment to highlight the service Metro will be providing over the holidays, the upcoming holidays. As you've probably heard, Metro is taking a break from SafeTrack work near the end of the month. SafeTrack surges will be suspended from December 20th through the end of January, as previously announced, to allow for inauguration preparations. Metro will also provide special late-night rail service until 3 a.m. on New Year's to offer riders a safe transportation option at a time when no track maintenance is scheduled. Also, there will be no maintenance work, so trains will run on regular weekend schedules on all lines. So on behalf of the board, I also want to recognize Metro staff involved in preparations for the inauguration. As they say, the eyes of the world will be on our region. Because of your commitment, superior planning, collaboration, and hard work, I know that Metro will shine next month. So are there any questions on any of those items? Comments? Nothing? Okay. That concludes my comments, so I'd like now to go to Mr. Wiedefeld for his report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. As you know, later today, the board will be voting on a proposal to adjust the Metro Rail operating hours to provide additional 8 hours a week for maintenance. Andy Off and others have laid out the case in recent weeks and months, but simply put, our current overnight work windows are just too short to be to do productive work. In order to institute a preventive maintenance program, which Metro is currently lacking, we need longer periods of time when trains are not running on the tracks. The plan before you today would do just that. When SafeTrack ends in June of 2017, the additional overnight hours will move us forward with an industry-grade preventive maintenance plan that keeps our system healthy and reduces unnecessary delays for our customers due to track problems. We know this has been a difficult decision for the board and difficult discussion, but we firmly believe it isn't the path forward to improve the safety and reliability of the system, and we would appreciate your support. With my first year coming to a close last month, it's time to wrap up the customer accountability report initiative that I started last year. We introduced a number of things that basically were our agenda for 16. We've accomplished a vast majority of those, including the radio cellular cabling project agreement, and actually we did just start that service on a segment of it last week. We installed the 15-minute entry-exit grace period, the new pass products, both SelectPass and UPass, the new website, the bus ETA system, the improved delivery of the 7K rail cars from 8 to 20 per month. station improvements that were ongoing in terms of lighting, ceiling tiles, Wi-Fi piloting, and things of that sort, and obviously our elevators and escalators. We have more police in the system now, and they're much more visible, as we've committed to. We put platform attendants. They've been critical in the surge areas, the people in the purple vest helping our customers. We've streamlined the management, overall management team, and brought in some top-flight people there. We did complete our 16 audit on time, and we significantly improved the capital program. These were all commitments that we together made with the CARE report, and really they're the basis for the back to good, because that's what we're going to continue to do, be very candid and be very accountable for what we propose. In terms of the holiday service, I won't go into too much detail. The one the chairman just talked about, that the one point I did want to make is that we have got we're asking your consideration of a partnership with Miller Coors, who will pay the fares on behalf of our customers to offer a free travel on Metro Rail and Metro Bus between midnight and 3 a.m. on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Each year, Miller Coors promotes what they frame as their responsible commuting campaign on New Year's Eve by providing free rides on more than 20 cities across the country, and this will be the second year for the Metro if you will approve that. And then finally, I would just like to take time to thank Senator Barbara Mikulski. She, for her 30 years of service, obviously, but really she's been one of the strongest supporters for Metro over years. And I think we owe her a great debt of gratitude for everything that she's done, and we wish her all the best. So that completes my report.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the general manager? Questions, comments? No. Okay, thank you, Paul, for that report. Our next item on the agenda is a report by the Customer Service Operations and Security Committee, Ms. Hudgens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee accepted the Title VI and public outreach reports for the proposed changes to the Metro Rail hours of service and the creation of the Metro Bus Lifeline Network Access Service. And in addition, the committee recommended that the board approve the following hours of service for Metro Rail system effective July 1, 2017. The proposal 3 reflects Monday through Thursdays, 5 a.m. to 11:30 p.m., Friday, 5 a.m. to 1 a.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 1 a.m., and Sundays, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. If approved, then the board would receive through the Customer Service and Operations Security Committee quarterly reports updates from management on Metro's preventive maintenance program. Absent any further action by the board, Metro Rail service would revert to its pre-safe track operating hours after 2 years on July 1st, 2019. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move approval of a motion, if a second, and then I would call upon you to offer your amendment.
Okay, the motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
And then the chair has asked me, I move to amend this resolution by inserting an additional resolve paragraph. Resolve paragraph following the fifth resolve paragraph. It states as follows: resolved that the Board of Directors directs the General Manager to provide a comprehensive report of the preventive maintenance program progress to the full board in May of 2018 and declares a continuation of the reduced span of service for fiscal year 19. So I would like to move
second.
That at this time.
Second.
Second. His motion has been made and second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ms. Hudgens.
I appreciate the your amendment. I think the resolution reflects, I think, the oversight that we've talked about for the board. It gives the general manager to move forward in doing his work, as well as gives the public an opportunity to see the progress that can be made when we all cooperate and work hard to get there. So with that, I thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Let the record reflect the motion passes unanimously. The amendment passes unanimously. Now we have the full resolution before us. It's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, I'm sorry, Mr. Goldman.
I really don't want to discuss the proposal in substance because I support it. I just want to make a comment to make clear that the general manager as well as the media should be clear in reporting to the public that these hours of service do not go into effect tomorrow. They do not go into effect until July 1, 2017. And that until July 1, 2017, Metro will continue to operate under the current hours of service, meaning closing every day at midnight except a little earlier on Sundays, and except for the general manager's announcement as to what the hours will be on New Year's Eve. So I just wanted to make that statement clear before we end up scaring a lot of our riders with something that they think will happen tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Goldman. Anything further? Comments? Mr. Cochran.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also want to state what Kathy had stated. I know this was a painful decision for a number of people, Mr. Chairman, particularly you. But we are proving to the public, to the media, that under Mr. Wiedefeld, safety is the most important thing to the customer. And so I appreciate the negotiation that you did to get to a place where we can provide those hours to do the service that's necessary to make this the safest system possible. So thank you.
So thank you very much. Further comments? Okay, the motion before us has been seconded. All in favor signify by, it's not the motion, the resolution. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Let the record reflect it passed unanimously by the board. Okay. Ms. Hudgens, anything else?
That's it, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Goldman, the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The following three actions were referred to the board at the December 1st meeting of the Finance Committee, and we will deal with them in terms of votes in seriatim. First, approval of SelectPass as permanent fare product of Metro. Staff is seeking board approval of the equity analysis for SelectPass, which showed no Title VI equity concerns. Approval of the SelectPass as a permanent fare product following the successful pilot program and authorization to make conforming changes to add SelectPass to the WMATA tariff. I move approval.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Goldman.
Second, the fiscal year 2017 reimbursable bus services. Staff is seeking board approval to add to the FY 2017 reimbursable Metro bus services requested by two jurisdictions. First, new limited stop Metro Extra G9 service on Rhode Island Avenue in the District of Columbia. And second, additional service on Metro Extra Route 16Y on Columbia Pike in Arlington, Virginia. I move approval.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
In discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. Third and last, and this is a little longer, the FY 2018 budget public hearing resolution. Staff is seeking board authorization to conduct a fiscal year 2018 budget public hearing as required by the WMATA Compact and the Federal Transit Administration regulations. This includes approval of a docket of proposed fare and service changes, as well as a summary of Metro's proposed programs and projects and use of federal grant funds in the FY 2018 capital program. At our meeting 2 weeks ago, the committee approved a number of jurisdictional amendments to the original fare and service change docket that was proposed by the general manager. Staff incorporated these amendments into the red line version of the docket that is included in board members' materials, and they work directly with jurisdictional staff to clarify a few of the bus service amendments. I believe most of the amendments are self-explanatory, but I want to briefly call your attention to two of them. First, the District of Columbia has proposed a demand-based pricing approach for parking that would allow daily parking fees to be increased or decreased by 25 cents at up to three locations for each of D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. If this general concept is approved, then the specific locations would also have to be approved by the full board. Second, the District of Columbia and Virginia have independently proposed changes to the 5A bus route to Dulles Airport, which begins in the district and then goes through Arlington, Virginia, on out to to Dulles Airport. These two proposals are shown separately on the docket. I therefore move approval to hold a fiscal year 2018 budget public hearing, including approval of the fare and service change docket as amended, as well as the docket summarizing the proposed capital program and use of federal grant funds for fiscal year 2018. Thank you.
Okay, a motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Anything further, Mr. Goldman?
No. That concludes okay. The business from the Finance Committee.
Thank you. Okay, the following three items are on the board's consent agenda. A renewal of the FDA license agreement for parking spaces at White Flint Station Garage. Staff is seeking approval of an extension option for the license agreement for rental of 150 spaces at the White Flint Station parking garage. FDA will pay the non-rider rate for each space per weekday with payment due in advance. Montgomery County Department of Transportation supports this renewal. Secondly, rescission of Tacoma Langley Crossroads Transit Center resolution. State of Maryland, through the Maryland Transit Administration, wishes to operate and maintain the new Tacoma Langley Crossroads Transit Center. This action would rescind prior approvals, adding the facility to the adopted regional system, and allow the general manager to negotiate and execute the necessary documents to terminate the lease and other agreements. Finally, New Year's Eve sponsorship and indemnification. For the second year, Miller Coors proposes to provide free rides to all passengers who enter the Metro Rail system between midnight and 3 a.m. Close on January 1st, 2016. The agreement provides that Metro indemnify Miller Coors as part of the sponsorship agreement. So I'd like to move this at this time. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the consent items? Seeing none, all in favor of the consent agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, finally, we have reports by the jurisdictions. First, myself in the District of Columbia, and I would just like to take this opportunity to thank all of the board members for your great participation this year. This board has accomplished a lot, and each one of you individually is a very big part of the accomplishments that we've had. And I do want to take this opportunity to thank you. You've donated your time, energy, perspective to a better metro system. And we argue, we discuss, we debate, and I think that's very healthy. That's a board that is engaged and involved. And I think it's been a very good year. Paul listed many of the accomplishments. We can go back a year to the prior board that hired Paul. Many of you are on that board as well. One of the best decisions the board has ever done. So, and going forward, the audit on time, clean audit, Jim Corcoran, thank you for that, and all the board members of the audit committee, and the numerous accomplishments this board has had. So it's been a good year, and Paul, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your efforts and the staff of Metro for all that you have done.
Thank you so much.
It was a real testament to Metro that at the Council of Governments meeting the other day, Metro was talked about by everyone, and our general manager was singled out a number of times for his good work that he's doing. I also want to recognize Tony, who received an award by the Council of Governments. So again, congratulations on your achievement as well. And I want to wish everyone, the board, the general manager, staff, everyone, a very happy holiday season. And enjoy it, and we will come back to work in January with a number of issues facing us. So thank you again. WSTC, Ms. Harley. No report? Okay. To NBTC, Mr. Corcoran.
No report at this time.
Okay. And the federal government, Mr. Strickland.
Other than a wish of happy holidays, no report from federal government.
Okay. Anything else to come before the board? Seeing nothing, the meeting's adjourned.